former NFL executive Michael Lombardi. Now here is your host, Stormy Bonatoni, on VSiN, the sports betting network.
The NBA and NHL playoffs are rolling on with round two. It's Kentucky Derby week. We have NFL draft, reaction, props, updated odds, all that and more as we welcome you back to the Lombardi Line presented by BetMGM. Hour two upon us. Mike Pritchard, VSiN senior NFL analyst as well as longtime veteran in the league, joins us today as Michael Lombardi gets a little off day action. So thanks for being here as always.
Of course, I
cannot believe how fast this show has already gone by. Hour one went by like that.
So much to cover. I didn't even mention the Derby.
I know.
I'm looking forward to the Derby. I got to find out who the long shot is because I just got to, out of principle, go on the longest shot.
That's how
horse.
You do it?
Well, last year that was the case. So
yeah, Rich Strike.
I know.
What was it, like 80 to 1 or something
right,
crazy?
Exactly. So
fastest opening half mile in Kentucky Derby history.
Right. So not even looking at handicap. I'm just looking to see, okay, who's the furthest shot horse on here? That can even finish the race, perhaps. And then, you know, take a peek at some other horses as well, though.
Yeah, so just go continue our 70 to 1, okay. Longest shot that we have there. The favorite
go.
Forte with arguably the best jockey in the world, but not the best post position. Okay. And then Tapid Trice, the next shortest shot. At plus 550, those are your favorites early on. So we'll definitely be getting Kentucky Derby picks from everybody throughout the week. Post positions made final recently. But what we got to do right now is we're going to continue talking a little NFL draft here, Pritch, because I love how quick the bookmakers are at DraftKings, at BetMGM, at all of these places who just get props up. Locked and loaded for us right away.
Right.
And so we already have passing yards and touchdown props, rushing yards props, sack numbers for these guys that just got drafted and finding out where they're at. So let's start with the number one overall pick to the Carolina Panthers, Bryce Young. His over-under for yards set at 3,825.5, passing touchdowns 24.5. And that one is juiced to the under at minus 130.
Woo, that's a lot going to have to happen for 3,825.5 for him to go over that. I mean, you know, there's quarterbacks in the league 9-10 years that can't complete 25 passing touchdowns either. I mean, the under minus 130, that's not a bad price, I don't believe, for a rookie quarterback with a team that wants to run the football. I mean, I know Frank Reich, you know, people can extrapolate where he's been and what he wants to do, but this is new for Frank Reich in terms of this quarterback. And, you know, I wonder, because I can't help but think, how do you protect Bryce Young? Like, how do you protect him to where he's not going to take a shot and then he's not going to be unavailable? He's going to be unavailable for you, right?
You just keep thinking about that picture from the locker room.
I have to. You saw it, right?
Yes, we did. I mean, we will pull it up for you here.
Okay, look at this. What does that look like to you? It looks like
meeting Brian Burns in the locker room. These are the types of players who are going to be coming for Bryce Young. There is a disparity.
He doesn't even have pads on, Stormy. And he's a teammate. Think about the opposite side of that. And what this reminds me of is a Pop Warner player and the parents being too small, too afraid for their kid against all these larger players out there. I mean, that's what it looks like. Now, he's a grown man. And he's a grown man sport, so more power to him. But I can't help but think, as a former player, what Frank Reich might be thinking, we got to protect this guy. We need him for the entire season, and how do we keep him upright? So do you run the football more, or do you get rid of the ball quicker? Can you take chances of max protection and, okay, he's going to throw the ball vertically down the field? Do you have run after the catch type of players? All that, to me, needs to be factored into the 3,825.5 passing yards.
Only nine quarterbacks last year had over 3,700 yards, just to put that into perspective. And it was largely the usual suspects when it comes to those props. CJ Stroud, not far behind, also would be in that threshold, 3,750.5 yards. He, of course, taking over quarterback duties for the Houston Texans, over even money under that number. Minus 130, and then the passing touchdowns number, a tick down from Bryce Young. Young at 24.5, Stroud 22.5, same numbers there.
Yeah, the over intrigues me, 3,750.5 plus 100 for passing yards for C.J. Stroud. I mean, they're going to do the West Coast offense, as we know. Slowick, I believe, is a coordinator now from 49ers, and they're going to run the football, and people got to understand that too, but they're also going to do the vertical passing game off of play action too, and I think CJ Stroud, highly comfortable in the pocket already. We saw that in college. He just has to get used to the environment in the National Football League, which I think he can do. And he has that ability. So, you know, the over plus 100 is intriguing to me. Passing touchdowns, a little dicey, 22.5, because you just wonder what type of opportunities he's going to have there. Or you know, you look at the Texans trying to control the ball and run the ball a little bit more. But no, I'm looking for the over situation. I think C.J. Stroud could step right in and play at a high level for Houston.
We look at the running back, Bijan Robinson out of Texas, a bit of a, not a surprise because so many people had mentioned that the Falcons could take him at 8 overall and have him be a top 10 selection. But just considering what they already have in the running back room, that it wasn't necessarily a position of need for them, that Atlanta takes Bijan Robinson. His rushing yards number set at 1,100.5, over even money, under minus 130. Rushing touchdowns, 8.5, juice to minus 115 on each side. But yeah, like we said, that running back room, he, Tyler Algier, Patterson as well. Just interesting choice for them. But what do you think with the numbers?
You know, look at Arthur Smith, the track record, I think a little bit too. And it's attractive. It really is, because I think Bijan Robinson is a bell cow player. I think he is that type of running back. But you still want to be careful, right? Especially when you have Cordero Patterson, who can tote the rock. When you have Algier, who did a great job last year, over 1,000 yards, just 3 rushing touchdowns. I mean, Bijan adds so much to that offense in other areas too, kind of like a Christian McCaffrey, right?
He's a weapon.
He's a weapon. You know, Saquon Barkley to that extent as well. He is a pure running back made ready for the National Football League, and the intrigue is going to be there to give him the rock, you know, over 300 times. But do you want to do that when you have other players? But he's a game breaker too, to where you can see him going over 1,100 yards.
I kind of need to see, I want the prop up for yards from scrimmage and, you know, combined touchdowns, what those numbers would be for rushing and receiving.
Great point. I totally agree with that. I would wait for that. If you are intrigued by Robinson at all, he's a utility player. I think he's a true tailback, but he can be a halfback in the National Football League. And I'm curious to see what Arthur Smith wants to do with him. Mm-hmm. He's got a ton of talent. Offensively, when you throw in Pitts, you throw in London, you throw in Cordero Patterson, could play wide receiver or running back, and the same thing with Algier. So there's a lot of options on the table for Atlanta right now.
Yeah, a lot of potential. And now the question is, okay, is Desmond Ridder going to be able to do enough to get these weapons the ball? Because we know that there is so much young talent on the offensive side of the ball. Bijan Robinson, by the way, the 3-1 favorite to win Offensive Rookie of the Year. Bryce Young plus 475. Okay. Also, just from an odds perspective, seems like I could get down on some Bryce Young for Offensive Rookie of the Year. Were there any names that stood out to you there? So Robinson is the favorite, followed by Bryce Young, Jackson Smith and Jigba, and C.J. Stroud, both 7-1, Jahmyr Gibbs 9-1, and Anthony Richardson 9-1 as well.
It feels like this could be a year for a running back. Saquon was the last running back to win Offensive Rookie of the Year. You know, wide receiver has been prominent, but Smith and Jigba, I think he's going to be wide receiver number 3 up there. You know, C.J. Stroud is interesting at plus 650. Bryce Young, too. The only thing about Bryce Young is, again, I just, how long is he going to last or how long is he going to play? I mean, if he can survive 17 games, that's not a bad bet, to be honest with you. Anthony Richardson is intriguing, too, because what if he does hit, right? Right out the gate. That could be special up there in Indy.
If I'm Anthony Richardson, I'm asking Shane Steichen for Jalen Hurts' phone number. Call him up, find out, hey, what did you do with Steichen to get to where you are? Help me. Like, if I'm a young guy, I'm just trying to get whatever I can type of information. So that, because he, far and away, has the biggest boom or bust potential of any other guy. But yeah, 9-1, interesting if he ends up being the guy. Bryce Young, I don't have as much concern for year one as I do just career longevity, right?
So Yeah, year one, maybe staying upright and being tough. You know, Anthony Richardson at plus 900, because when you brought up Jalen Hurts, it makes you think about the fact that he's had double-digit rushing touchdowns 2 years in a row, right? When you think about passing touchdowns too, that improved for Jalen. But in terms of rushing touchdowns, he was a weapon in the red zone, and he has been, and that's going to be the case too for Anthony Richardson as well in Indy. And so the offensive line, they need to redeem themselves. I think they're going to get called out this year in that regard. They're going to be worked differently, and they're going to have to deal with, they don't have to deal with the Jeff Saturday stuff. So who knows? I mean, if Anthony Richardson hits, that plus 900 is going to look very, very nice right now.
All right, last minute and a half here. We have sack numbers as well. Mm-hmm. Will Anderson with the Houston Texans set at 8.75. And yes, some of these sack numbers are weird, and they are set at the 0.75 because, of course, you can get a half sack and the, you know, quarter, whatever. Like they add up
yeah,
because you can get an 8.5. Basically, that's your over, right? Instead of just pushing it to 9. But Will Anderson, 8.75, over minus 120, under minus 110. And we also have Tyree Wilson, newest addition to the Raiders, at 6.75.
Yeah, it's going to be curious to see what D'Amico is going to do with Will Anderson and Houston. I think Tyree Wilson here is attractive because he has two all pros with him as well. Chandler Jones, look, Chandler Jones for 17 games is not going to be that effective. But for eight games, I think he could play at a high level. And then you got Max on the other side. So I think Graham, the defense coordinator for the Raiders, can do a lot of things with Tyree Wilson and have a lot of opportunities, one-on-one opportunities too. I'd be intrigued by that over situation, sack situation for Tyree Wilson.
Okay, I like it. I think that's a good addition. We said in the commercial break, they need another staple on their defense. Mm-hmm. I'm so glad that they went out and got their guy. I hope the foot is no problem for him, and he does get over that number and makes a name for himself year one in the league. We've got to step aside. More Lombardi Line coming up next.
This is the Lombardi Line with former NFL executive Michael Lombardi. Now here's your host, Stormy Bonatoni, on VSiN, the sports betting network.
Are you ready for the most exciting 2 minutes in sports? Become a VSiN Pro subscriber today, just $9.99, and you get all access to everything we do, which of course includes our new Kentucky Derby betting guide. We have profiles on all of the horses, jockeys, and trainers, so you know which horses are the favorites, the sleepers, and the best long shots, plus best bets from our guy Dave Tooley and other VSiN experts to help you make the most out of your Kentucky Derby bets. This offer won't last long. Subscribe today, again, just $9.99. at VSiN.com/subscribe. You know that sound. Hot Take Tuesday! Bow, bow, bow. Okay, so if you are new to the program on Tuesdays, basically what we try to do here is deliver a take and then determine the level of heat coming off said take. So Pritch has a couple. Our girl producer, Steph Kammershack, in the back has one that she feels is pretty hot. So let's see what you got here, Pritch.
All right, Stormy. I'm going to lead off here, which I think is probably the hottest take you'll hear anywhere. And that is, I believe the Las Vegas Raiders will threaten the Chiefs for the AFC West title.
That is very hot.
That is very hot.
That is very hot.
That's just off the top rope, right?
We're just getting going. I'm going to say that's like, what are the, at Buffalo Wild Wings, what's the hottest flavor
something
that
blazing?
You get there? Just the blazing,
okay.
Rips your tongue and lips off hot. Your eyes are watering. You're squeamish.
Milk
it's not
won't
a
help.
Good thing. I'm going to say that's really, really hot because the Raiders are a team that has largely failed to meet expectations. Mm-hmm. First year with a new head coach, I think that they could make some improvements, absolutely. But to fend with the Kansas City Chiefs and potentially beat them for a division title when this is the team that just won the Super Bowl and is coming back for more in the division, that is extremely hot.
Patrick Mahomes going to the Met Gala and all that stuff, right? I mean, you look at the Chiefs and the roster and how it's turned over. And I know they got hot throughout the year. You know, Patrick Mahomes was Superman on that ankle. Pacheco stepped up. You know, the offense got in gear at the right time. Defensively, they got it together, too, with a lot of
young players.
Yeah,
like we thought without Tyreek Hill, maybe they'd take a step back,
right?
And they did not.
No. But, you know, the thing about the Chiefs, they're another year older, and they got another Super Bowl. And it's so hard to repeat in the National Football League. It rarely happens, right? And I think they're an older roster too, transitioning, new offensive coordinator. Where you look at the Raiders, and I look at the Chargers. You know, the Chargers with Kellen Moore, new offensive coordinator, but Austin Eckler, and there's some question marks going on with the Chargers. And then the Broncos, my goodness, where do you start and end with the Broncos, right? And all the situation and the issues that they have right now and that they have to turn that over. Whereas if you look at the Raiders, they have something going for them in terms of continuity. And they have something going for them in terms of elevated quarterback play if the quarterback stays healthy. Like Jimmy G, if he stays healthy, I mean, from a career standpoint, what, 40-17, right? Career record as a starter, I want to say, looking at the stats here throughout his whole career, yeah, 40-17. So he's got to stay healthy. But
he's a winner.
He's a winner, but also when you watch Derek Carr last year in this offense, it was almost a top 10 offense with Josh Jacobs, their leading rusher, and a makeshift offensive line. They've still almost cracked the top 10 in terms of total offense or scoring offense. Jimmy G is going to elevate the offense because of the nuances of this scheme and what Josh McDaniels wants to operate and execute and call. Throw in Michael Mayer, who I think is an upgraded position and a tight end position for the Raiders. Throw in Davante Adams.
You think
throw
he's
in Josh Jacobs. I do, because he adds more than Darren Waller did last year. Darren Waller had 388 yards. I think I want to say 3 touchdowns. He dropped more touchdowns than he caught last year. Well, Michael Mayer is going to have an opportunity. Davante Adams, Josh Jacobs, I just mentioned, Jacoby Myers. If this offense can get into the top 10, along with a little bit of a makeshift defense, but yet a more intelligent defense, I think they can surprise people this year.
Well, so it's interesting to me because what it continues to come down to for the Raiders, in my mind, is that defense. Mm-hmm. And if they're able to take those steps forward,
right.
Because that's been one of the biggest problems since Derek Carr has been their quarterback, is that it's hard to have to score 28 points a game to win. Mm-hmm. And when your defense is giving up as much as the Raiders have, like, that's a big ask, especially for a guy like Jimmy Garoppolo, who, when he was in San Francisco, had the luxury, right, of just having a lot of those weapons that get the yards after catch and do the work. So I like the talent, certainly, on the offensive side of the ball for him to get the ball out to with the Raiders. But it's just a big ask if the defense doesn't do their part.
Well, I look at this division vets on vets. Like Marcus Epps came over from Philly. Trayvon Merrick, he's a guy who's been with the Raiders a number of years now, who really should step in. Nate Hobbs on the back end. He's a guy that the Raiders are excited about from a cover standpoint. But to me, it's all about that front. When you have Chandler Jones, who, again, give me a good 8 games this year, Chandler. We'll be all right. Max Crosby in his prime, he's an all-pro player. Bilal Nichols, plugging up the middle a little bit. Then you throw in Tyree Wilson, who adds another dynamic to that front, defensive front. And you're right. I mean, it's all going to be about that defense. But think about the Kansas City Chiefs that just won a Super Bowl. And there was nobody significant standing out on that defense outside of Chris Jones. So I think the Raiders have a chance to put it together. My hot take is that they do put it together and they surprise folks this year with a run at the AFC West title.
I'm still just surprised that and I love Michael Mayer. I'm a Notre Dame fan. I'm still just surprised. That could have been a hot take that the Raiders are upgrading at tight end.
I had 2 hot takes in there.
But also, I was surprised you didn't have any love for the Broncos either. I feel like a lot of people think that they're going to make significant strides with Sean Payton and maybe he can get Russell Wilson fixed and XYZ, but neither here nor there.
Right.
What other take you got?
My other hot take, I was so hot that I blocked out the other one. but I think it's not as hot as that one. But the Packers, they're going to finish dead last in the division.
That's not a hot take at all. Even a lukewarm
take.
Longest odds in the division.
I was hoping to take up the whole segment with my hot take, so I didn't have to get to that one. That one is, I'll even freely admit that was kind of lukewarm, but
you should have almost opened the segment
with that one.
That way we could lead up to the hot take.
But I wanted to come off the top rope as opposed to go underneath the rope, right? Yeah, so I did that with the Raiders.
Yeah, if you missed the news, by the way, earlier today, instead of exercising the 5th-year option for Jordan Love, they extend him, give him $13.5 million guaranteed instead of the $20.2 he would be guaranteed if he did the 5th-year option. But good on the Packers in a prove-it year for Jordan Love, taking over for the 4-time MVP Aaron Rodgers. Producer Steph has a hot take for us as well. Are you ready?
Yes.
So I'm going to let you determine the level of heat. Maybe we both can.
Okay.
Will Levis should start right away for the Titans. She says, why waste any time? Malik Willis ain't it. And they're clearly done with Ryan Tannehill.
Yes. I mean, That's hot. It is, you know, considering what happened to Will in the draft, right? Nobody's considering that right now. I tell you what, if Will Levis does not start right away for the Titans, then that was a bad pick.
Yeah.
Right.
How surprised were you, by the way, that he fell the way that he fell? Obviously, right off the board, right away, day two, but...
Yeah, I mean, I think there's entitlement just reeks off this guy. I mean, I know we have flames here showing off of Will Levis, but entitlement kind of reeks off this guy. And, you know, there's big reasons why he did slide that way. I mean, you can feel it. When you feel entitlement, I think as a team, as a play caller, as a certainly a team sport, you run the other way from that. But, you know, Tennessee's in a position where they need a quarterback, and they need Will Levis to start, not Malik Willis. They don't need that. And certainly Tannehill, you're right, they're done with him. So they absolutely need Will Levis to win that starting job and become their quarterback.
Boy, the level of excitement that Titans fans had when they drafted Malik Willis and how quickly that dissipated this past year. Mm-hmm. Brian Tannehill, paying him a lot if he doesn't win the job, though.
Yeah, that's true. That's true. I mean, I think they can do some things if they have to. But, you know, when you draft a quarterback like Will Levis, who fell out the first round, hopefully that humbled him. And he can get rid of entitlement. It's no different than Drew Lock, right? It's no different than...
When you say entitlement, is this like he cares more about his body than he cares about playing quarterback? Or what do you mean by
entitlement,
that?
Entitlement, things are given to you. Things are not earned, that kind of stuff. Yeah, you are good. We get that. But do you have it within yourself to get better or to be better? Like Tom Brady, the opposite of that. Opposite of entitlement, right? Even though he's a GOAT, never felt like it, never played like it. So I think when you come into the league and you have that self of entitlement, then you're going to have a hard time. Drew Lock, Kyler Murray, Josh Rosen. I mean, you can go on and on and on with a lot
Kyler.
Of quarterbacks.
Duh.
I know, with a
I
lot of quarterbacks.
I can't stand Kyler Murray. That's so bad. It's true, though. It's true. And you see it on the sideline, right. And it bleeds through your locker room when you have a player like that in a negative way. And so I hope Will Levis isn't that. But you see the Colts sitting there. Plus 550. They're a team that's, you know, with Anthony Richardson, could they? I don't think those odds are long enough, quite frankly.
Right.
But they believed in themselves last year before the Jeff Saturday era came underway. Yeah. I don't know. That's an interesting division. Is it a Jags to lose to you?
I think it is. I mean, Trevor Lawrence is so head and shoulders above everybody else right now in his career.
No doubt. We got to take a break. Josh Applebaum, host of VSiN Morning Bets and the Market Insights Pod, is going to join us coming up next. Give us some perspective on some hockey.
This is the Lombardi Line with former NFL executive Michael Lombardi. Now here is your host, Stormy Bonatoni, on VSiN, the sports betting network.
Become a VSiN Pro subscriber today, and you'll get a daily email recapping all of the best bets from every show host and guest. You'll also get unlimited access to our VSiN.com/picks page, sort picks by sport, matchup, event, date, and more. Check the top VSiN experts leaderboard to view betting records, profit, and ROI, and see which VSiN expert has the hot hand for VSiN Pro picks. Betting splits, power ratings, plus 24/7 video access. Become a VSiN Pro subscriber today. Sign up now for just $9.99 at VSiN.com/subscribe. We got round two of the NHL playoffs beginning tonight, and if it's anything like round one, we are in for a treat. We saw two of the biggest upsets in NHL history with the bottom seed Panthers upsetting the Boston Bruins, who had the best season in terms of wins and points in forever.
Right.
Second year in existence, the Seattle Kraken, they knock off the defending champion Colorado Avalanche. You had the Leafs, who break their first round drought after nearly 20 years. Kings Oilers had three games go to overtime. And then the Devils, of course, beat the Rangers in game seven with a 4-0 shutout yesterday. I am all over the place. It is so fun. And I hope the chaos continues. We will see as we welcome in our good friend of the show, Josh Applebaum, host of the Morning Bets podcast, as well as Market Insights Pod as well, who joins us now. Do you think this continues? Are we going to get more craziness in round two, Josh? I loved it.
Well, Stormy and Pritch, I tell you what, Stormy, I didn't love it as a Boston Bruins fan.
Well, I didn't like that part. I needed the Bruins too, my friend.
But I would just say, you know, the switch there, Cassidy, you know, leaving Montgomery, coming in. You had this epic year here, obviously. And then what did you see? Obviously, Cassidy, who, if you talk to a lot of these Bruins players, they always said that he was really hard on them. And, you know, to me, you know, obviously you want someone who's nice to you, but sometimes when they're hard on you, they get the most out of you. So Cassidy obviously has gotten his team to the next round. Bruins here, guys, it's really tough. You know, is Bergeron going to come back? What are we going to see here moving forward? Don Sweeney sold out with all these draft picks, really just to make this run here. And the President's Trophy cursed Stormy and Pritch. Ugh. It continues here. So my Celtics are still in it. With the Bruins, it's a sad day in Boston.
Man, Josh, I tease you. It's hot or cold out there with your sports teams, man. I mean, you got to catch me up with hockey. Let's get to some of these matchups. Leafs and Panthers, what are you looking at in this matchup?
Yeah, and Pritch, it's funny you mentioned all the Boston teams. The best team right now is the Red Sox. Who would have thought? I mean, they just walk off again with Verdugo holding an over 78.5 wins tickets. Hopefully we get a shot at that. But looking toward this one, Pritch, I'm going with the Toronto Maple Leafs. Now, one thing that we've seen here in the betting market with the Bruins getting knocked off and Colorado getting knocked off is that, believe it or not, the Leafs are now the favorite to win the Stanley Cup. They haven't won a cup since 1967. It has been forever here. Obviously, they love hockey up there, and now you are expected to hoist the cup. The Leafs also are plus 170 now to win the conference, plus 350 for the cup. But I like him in tonight's matchup for a couple reasons, guys. Number one, just from a betting, you know, market-driven standpoint, we got some pretty big steam here on the Leafs. The Leafs opened as low as a minus 150-ish home favorite here tonight for game one against Florida. Now they've been bet up here to around minus 165, minus 170. Start off the bat, we have that indication of bigger wagers here going with Toronto, causing that line move in their direction. Historically, we have seen these home favorites do pretty well in the NHL Stanley Cup playoffs. Big reason for that is a lot of people think it's the crowd, but more often it's really getting that last ice change, being able to see who the opponent puts out on the ice, then you as the coach get to match up. So if you see, you know, Tkachuk come out, you know, Toronto can then put out their best checking line, best defensive pair. So that's an advantage. Those home favorites are 60% here since the start of last year. Also a rest advantage. Leafs went six games against Tampa. The Panthers obviously had to go seven games against the Bruins. They win, but they just played a couple days ago, the 30th of April versus the 29th for Toronto, who's got a little bit of a rest advantage. Toronto's been great at home. They're 28-10-6. They're 41-20 as a favorite. Really going to lean on their defense, I think. Samsonov against, I believe it's going to be Alex Lyon tonight, because that was a surprise. I thought they were just going to go with Bobrovsky, who really turned that series around against the Bruins, but it looks like Lyon was the first off the ice. He had a 2.89 goals against in the regular season. Samsonov was 2.33, so maybe an advantage there in net. Also, the power play, lethal power play with all those great forwards for Toronto, 26% versus 23% for the Panthers, and then the penalty kill, 82% versus 76%. So I think it's just kind of a tough spot, the emotional kind of, you know, what you had to go through beating the Bruins and, you know, slaying the Dragon there. Now you got to turn around and play the favorite to win the cup. I like the Leafs here tonight. I laid it with Toronto around minus 165.
Yeah, the Bruins, although I'm not a fan like you, Josh, it did crush me and my bankroll as well. I had a lot of belief and invested in that team. But speaking of the President's Trophy curse, I mean, the Florida Panthers, that it got them last year as well. And you see the way that they fell off during the start of the regular season, but they've really turned it into gear here this back half. I'm curious how the series as a whole is going to go. I very much so just, I hope that it's long. I hope that it's high scoring, since both teams we know can get the puck in the net but are a little bit suspect defensively at times. So we'll see how things go there. I know you have some MLB plays as well for us today. The Mets, not your Red Sox, but the Mets in action today against the Tigers. They dropped 6 of 7 before getting out of that funk with a 5-3 win against Atlanta on Monday. What do you think here today with them as a favorite?
Yeah, Stormy, really like the MLB slate today. I think there's a lot of sharp line moves. You're data-driven better here. We have a lot of system matches today, but I like the Mets in this spot. Now, Mets are going to go with Joey Lucchesi, lefty here, 1-0 with a 2.19 ERA. He's been pretty good to start this year. He was a highly touted prospect years ago, kind of flamed out. Maybe he's getting a reclamation project here with New York. But pitching advantage against Detroit with Michael Lorenzen. He hasn't been very good, 0-1 with an ERA over 7. And we've seen across the board a lot of steam going with the Mets in this spot. The Mets opened as low as a minus 135 favorite on the road. Mets are now up to, across the board, minus 155, minus 160. So we've seen that big steam go in favor of the Mets here. And then a lot of system matches here with the Mets. Number one would be non-division road favorites. It's my favorite system in baseball. Very simple. You're on the road. You're outside of the division. You don't have to worry about that familiarity benefiting the dog. And you're a favorite, and we have seen favorites do very well this year, 62%. And really since COVID, it's been a really chalky sport with baseball where favorites have done so well. But non-division road favorites are 78-40, 66% this season, 12% ROI. If you're a road favorite who made the postseason last year, like the Mets, you're 68-37, 65% this year. And a non-division favorite off a win, 66%. So a bunch of matches here on the Mets. Then also, guys, interleague play. Anytime you get an interleague matchup, basically not knowing your opponent, the lack of familiarity really benefits the better team. In particular, road interleague favorites this year, they're 31-16, 66% with an 11% ROI. Mets in this spot have been profitable. They're 12-6 as a favorite. They're 10-7 on the road, and they're 11-6 against righties. Detroit's been a loser in this spot. They're 9-17 as a dog, just 5-7 at home. So I'll back Lucchesi here. I'm going to lay an interleague play with the Mets. Shop around, got around a minus 155 with New York.
You know, Josh, something that we established on the show today is something you can count on. Chris Paul getting hurt in playoffs. and now this next play, Milwaukee, Colorado, in terms of baseball, the Colorado Rockies stink once again. It's the total's 11. The Colorado Rockies are at home. You got Peralta and Feltner. Not a bad price if you ask me for Milwaukee minus 165.
Pritch, I'm right there with you. And I love the fact that you're a Colorado guy and you're leaning Milwaukee with me here tonight. So I'm going Brew Crew. Let's brew some beer in this one. Milwaukee, as you mentioned, big advantage on the bump here. Freddie Peralta has been really good. He's part of that three-headed monster pitching staff there for the Brewers. But 3-2 with a 3.77 ERA. Feltner, as you mentioned, Pritch, ERA around 5. And this is another big steam move in favor of Milwaukee. They open as low as a minus 145, minus 150 road favorite. We've now seen them get steamed up to minus 160, minus 165. We have a lot of those same matches that we saw in the Mets. Non-division road favorites, 66%. Favorite who missed the postseason, 65%. But here's the other one that I really like, guys, with a lot of matches today. If both teams had the day off yesterday, just take the favorite in today's matchup. It's a very simple system, but you would think that with both teams' day off, it would kind of be equal, be an equalizer. But actually, it really benefits the better team. Better players using that time off to their advantage. So if both had the day off the previous, they take the favorite. That's 31-11, 74% this year, 22% ROI. Since the start of last year, it's 68% with a 12% ROI. Fresher bullpen here from Milwaukee, so better starter and fresher pen. They've only pitched 10 innings last three games versus 13 for Colorado. And then in this spot, Milwaukee's been good, 11-6 as a favorite, 13-7 against righties, 9-4 on the road. If you're Rockies here, Pritch, only 6-15 as a dog, 5-14 against righties, 4-9 on at home. So yeah. I'll lay it with Milwaukee. Feels kind of like a big number, but again, these kind of chalk favorite non-division road favorites have been really good this year. So I'm going with the Brew Crew.
From the Brew Crew to the Pod Squad, Padres, Reds going head-to-head game two of their three-game set. The Padres beat Cincinnati 8-3 on Monday. Coming into this one, they're a minus 205 money line favorite where things sit right now. Minus 105 for the run line. What are you looking at in this one?
Yeah, Stormy, it's a big number, but I'm laying it here with San Diego. I think this is a different team ever since Fernando Tatis Jr. came back. If you look at their top four, I mean, it's unbelievable. It's like, Murderers Row, Yankees, 1927. And when you go Tatis, Machado, Bogarts here, obviously Soto. But this matchup's kind of fishy because the big thing to me is the steam move. If you look at San Diego, they opened as low as like minus 175. Now they're close to minus 200. Why is this line going so big toward San Diego when if you look at the pitching matchup, Ashcraft, who's going with the Reds, he's 2-0 with a 2.10 ERA. Waka's got a 6.75 ERA. So why is the line going toward the guy with a higher and worse ERA? Seems fishy to me. I want to get behind that fishy side. Home ump, Nick Lentz, 61% to home teams. And in this spot, San Diego, 8-3 their last 11. They've been really good here at in recent days here. So I'm going to lay with the fathers here. Take me home. Let's go San Diego around minus 200.
You're the best, Josh. Thanks for doing this.
Appreciate it, guys. Have a good day.
Josh Avalon. Make sure you check out the Morning Bets podcast as well as the Market Insights pod at Josh_insights on Twitter. And the Padres, speaking of those bats, 30 runs scored their last three games for them.
This is the Lombardi Line with former NFL executive Michael Lombardi. Now here's your host, Stormy Bonatoni, on VSiN, the sports betting network.
BetMGM, the king of sportsbooks, unleashes the spirit of Las Vegas with BetMGM Rewards. Every time you make a wager at BetMGM, you can earn BetMGM Rewards points that you can redeem for online bonus credits like bonus bets and bet insurance tokens. And remember, if you're planning a trip to Vegas, you can also convert your BetMGM points into MGM Rewards points that you can use towards dining, shows, hotel rooms, all that good stuff at over 20 MGM Resorts properties located here on the Strip or nationwide. Sign up with BetMGM or log on today to get an even bigger piece of the action with BetMGM Rewards. Eligibility restrictions apply. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to please play responsibly and offer resources to help you make appropriate choices. Visit BetMGM.com for terms and conditions. Must be 21 years of age or older to wager. New and existing customer offer. All promotions subject to qualification and eligibility requirements. Rewards issued as non-withdrawable bonus bets. Bonus bets expire 7 days from issuance. Please gamble responsibly. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Wrapping things up here live from Circa Resort and Casino in downtown Las Vegas, Stormy Bonantoni and Mike Pritchard with you here on the Lombardi Line. And time for our pro tip of the hour. Pritch, every single show here on the network does these to try and help make you guys more informed bettors throughout the course of the year. These are searchable on vsin.com by sport and by show. But something we talked about with our friend Josh Applebaum moments ago, just how big of a factor rest can be, especially in game ones of playoff series.
Yeah, I mean, I think if you have especially an aging team or an aged team, rest could be more beneficial, right, from a healing standpoint. But you lose momentum. I think the longer you're away from a game, you kind of lose momentum. You'd rather be out there playing and hooping in this case, so either side. But, yeah, rest can be beneficial. I mean, especially I think of rest more so when injuries are involved, like Embiid getting extra rest so he can be healthy and the Sixers gaining that advantage by winning game one. If you're a younger team like the Celtics, you can't wait to get back on the court right now, right? So rest is arbitrary to me a little bit, depending on the sport, mostly depending on the situation, though.
Yeah, and I think the same thing goes for hockey. The rest is super beneficial, especially when you have guys that are dinged up. But if you're rolling, you want to keep rolling a little bit.
Right.
I'm very interested to see the series that we talked about with Josh, the Panthers and Maple Leafs going head-to-head, I think is going to be really interesting because both of them have so much emotional momentum coming into the game. Okay. And so which one wins out? Like for the Leafs, is it more of a sigh of relief that we finally got this like monkey off of our back situation? We broke the round one curse. We are in it. We're, you know, like maybe just a sense of relief. And the Panthers, maybe they have the more emotional letdown coming off, you know, beating a 65-win team in the Boston Bruins.
Right.
But both of them, a lot of emotion.
It's a great point, Stormy, because I think what bettors can take away from, at least I have as a former player now betting, is that more players or more teams are apt to panic or succumb to tightness than to have the poise necessary to complete a run. I mean, the teams that are poised, the teams that can put it together or keep it together, those are the ones that go on to win a championship, right? I mean, look at the teams that fall apart and how they fall apart. It's because they panic or they get too tight and they can't handle it. So which team has a better makeup? You know, when you look at teams, are they going to be able to handle the crowd or handle the emotion of the moment?
The total in this game, 6.5. I feel like all of them are going to be set at 6.5 or might even tick up to 7 just with how capable both of those teams are of scoring. Right. And I mentioned earlier, can be suspect defensively. I do have the Leafs, excuse me, winning this series. Okay. I'm unsure what I'm going to do in this game tonight, but Josh said he likes the Leafs laying the minus 170
so offensively,
price there.
Offensively, they probably can settle in sooner than the Panthers, and then therefore, okay, they'll be prolific scoring the puck.
Yeah, maybe even look at like team totals for scoring. I don't know. We also have the Kraken and Stars going head-to-head. Both of these games that are coming up tonight in the NHL, part of the ESPN doubleheader. But the Krakens, who knocked off your Colorado Avalanche, the defending champs, are done to the newest franchise in the National Hockey League, Kraken. Plus 150 on the money line today in Dallas. The Stars, a minus 175 favorite. Jake Oettinger in net has been tremendous. And the Kraken are just, they're a great story, Pritch.
Yeah.
But they did also beat a badly depleted version of the Avs.
Right.
And so I wonder if maybe like this is where it ends for them and Dallas is just too good. Maybe the fun ends here.
And does Dallas have the pedigree and all that too, right? I mean, the Kraken, I mean... This is a great story. It really
is.
It rivals the Knights a little bit, but not to the same extent. But, you know, the Avs were depleted. We just talked about rest and, you know, from an injury standpoint, and then also maybe from a broken neck standpoint, you know, talking about handling that, right, for a player to. So suspensions from from one of your best players, Makar. Yeah. So a lot of things happen to the Avs, right? And everything's going in the favor of the Kraken, but you might be right going up against the Stars here, minus 175 in his first game.
I just think a lot of it'll come down to goaltending, and Jake Oettinger has been great. And give Grubauer credit for what he did. Probably had a little bit of aggression he wanted to take out on his former team as well, get that redemption in the series. But Grubauer, a guy who was a Vezina finalist just a few years ago, so if he can continue to play at that level, I think this is anybody's series. But it's really hard, I think, to bet against the Stars in this spot. We have numbers. I'm looking at the rundown here. We have numbers in the XFL championship, ladies and gentlemen.
I cannot believe we have this matchup, by the way.
I can't either. Okay. So the Arlington Renegades, Bob Stoops' squad, who won four games in the regular season, is playing the best team far and away in the XFL this year, in the DC Defenders. The Defenders, a 6-point favorite over Arlington in the game, total 46.5.
Knowing this league the way you do, I mean, the Defenders, it looks like, for as consistent as they've been, I mean, I don't know if the Renegades are getting hot or if other teams have checked out because it is XFL, right? And towards the end of the season, whereas the Defenders, they seem like motivation could be on their side. They're better coached too, I believe. From what I've witnessed.
Reggie Barlow's great.
Yeah, can you lay six in this championship game? That's the only question. I mean, Defenders are going to win. I guess, can you lay six, though?
The betting public certainly has, because those who have placed bets on this game, 93% of the handle and 89% of tickets are laying the six with DC. Okay. We also have 95% of the handle on the over 46.5.
Can you go contrarian in the XFL?
DC has had every game but one this season go over the posted total.
Okay, yeah. I mean,
but Arlington's a good defense, so I see why the number is set at what it is, but I would certainly lean over in this game, especially because Arlington's offense, which was stagnant the majority of the season, has actually played better the last handful of weeks since Luis Perez came over from the Vegas Vipers and has taken over at quarterback for that squad. I'm just, again, just shocked that they're in this position to begin with. DC did play Arlington late in the season, and it went to overtime.
Okay.
It was, but it was a game that DC was up significantly in, and they let it fall away. I would have to imagine that in a championship scenario, you've been the best team in the league all year. You want to put your pedal to the metal and show that you are the best team in the league and you're not going to get tripped up here, that they should win and cover the number. I would hope that that would be the case and that Reggie Barlow would have his guys geared up for this game.
Well, what gets difficult to me, Stormy, is like, okay, laying a six with the Defenders, or do you take the points because this is uncharted territory, isn't it?
Well, I got my butt bit when I bet the plus points on Seattle last week, +3.5. I was shocked at how poor of a second half they played.
Well, it's uncharted. I mean, it's the XFL, and a lot of these players, I mean, how many I haven't dived into how many players have been in a championship situation or, you know, Stoops, certainly. You can understand that situation. Can he have his team prepared for this moment? We just talked about, there's more teams that panic or they succumb to tightness than can have that poise and persevere. So this could be an ugly game. It figures to be that way, having been the first championship in the XFL, but it is uncharted territory. Maybe an opportunity is to catch the points here.
Big spreads in the XFL have not fared well to the favorites throughout the course of the regular season. I will say that, but I would be so disappointed in DC if they didn't win this game in dominating fashion because...
And then the XFL would have a regular season team that had a losing record win a championship, though.
Oh, no, you can't have it. But that goes back to what I said last week as well, that I think the XFL really needs to re-look at their structure for who makes the postseason, that it should be the two division winners and then the teams with the best records after that instead of taking 1-2 in each division.
Right.
Because after all the tiebreakers, the way things shook out, there's no way you should have a 4-win team that's playing in your championship game.
Point.
And I think they agree with that. Rapid fire.
Yep.
Best draft in the NFL. Who had it?
Everybody wants to side with the Eagles. I think Seattle Bill is building on what they established last year. I think adding Smith and Jigba. The Steelers, I think they're building still. And then the Raiders. I'm gonna drive that one home all year long. I think the Raiders had a superb draft, and they're building on what they've established already with that roster.
Did you have a first-round pick you liked the most? Who were you like, good job, way to get him? No?
Anthony Richardson. I do. I like that.
What?
I do. I like that for the
See, where was that in Hot Take Tuesday? What are we doing? I love it. Great stuff. Thanks so much, Mike Pritchard, joining us today on the Lombardi Line. Keep it locked on VSiN, and we'll be back same time, same place, coming up tomorrow.